This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وأطهر المرسلين، شفيع المذنبين وحبيب رب العالمين محمد صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله، بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وتركها على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة. All praise is due to Allah. We bear witness that no one is worthy of worship but Allah, and we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is indeed his final messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya ahbaba Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يقول ربنا جل وعلا في تسع مواضع من كتاب الله وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. In 9 different places throughout the Quran, Allah emphasizes what is the mission of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying, "And we have sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but as a mercy to mankind." والعجيب في هذه الآيات أنها كلها مكية. But what is really strange about these verses in all 9 places, that they were all revealed during the Meccan period. Meaning that Muslims are still a minority, meaning that they are still persecuted, they are tortured, they are marginalized, they are discriminated against. And in the midst of all of this, the Quran reveals to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that your mission is that you are a mercy, not to the people of Mecca, not to the people of Arabia or to the people of Asia, but rather you are going to be a mercy to mankind. Universality of the mission, and also teaches optimism, that things may not look so very good at this point, but eventually your mercy, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is going to go throughout the world. وَقَلِيمٌ مِّنْ هَذَا كَلَامُ رَسُولِنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ إِذْ يَقُولُ لَا يَبْقَى عَلَى ظَهْرِ الْأَرْضِ بَيْتُ مَدَرٍ وَلَا وَبَرٍ إِلَّا دَخَلَهُ الْإِسْلَامِ. Also the Prophet, peace be upon him, in a statement very close to this, he said, there will be a time when no house on the face of the earth, whether it be made out of wabab, suf, wool, or madar, it's made out of brick and mud, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring Islam into it. He said there will be a time when every single house that exists on the surface of the earth, Allah is going to bring Islam into it. You are probably aware of the recent statement that was aired or made by the Vatican, where in it they said, as of today, there are more Muslims than Catholics in the world. So there are more Muslims than Catholics in the world. Muslims nowadays, they are roughly at about 20% of the people of the world, where Catholicism remains to be about 17.5% of the people of the world are Catholics. And they're saying, wait a minute, Islam is overtaken now and is the largest one single group in the world. Keep in mind that the number of Christians totally exceeds the number of Muslims. But what we want to reflect on is, what is going on? Why are there so many Muslims? Some will say, there are more Muslims simply because Muslims have more babies. And we say, partially that is true. Alhamdulillah, believers are bringing more believers to the world, and for this we say Alhamdulillah. And part of it also is that Muslims tend to get married at a younger age, which explains why do they have more children, and for this we also say Alhamdulillah. But what is interesting is, why are more people coming back to Islam? Why are these people coming to Islam? And a great number of them happen to be from the Catholic or from the Christian background. They are becoming Muslims. And for this we say, it seems to be there are 6 different reasons why are people coming into Islam. Number 1, people are not satisfied with their own beliefs. People would tell you, I grew up in a Christian home, in a Jewish home, in a home that was not very religious. But you know what, as I was growing up, things did not make sense to me. I had so many questions that were not answered. So some people are not satisfied with their own beliefs. And believe me, if we have any brother or sister here today that decided to come back to Islam, wallahi, we take off our hats for you. It takes so much courage on the part of these people to say, this is what I grew up in. This is what I grew up believing. But now that I am older and I have used the faculty of intellect that Allah has bestowed on me, I say, and I am making a better choice right now. So for this we say, it takes a lot of courage. And for this we have so much respect and admiration for you brothers and sisters out there who decided to make this shift. So number 1, people are very not satisfied with their own beliefs. Reason number 2, especially for the people who come from a Christian background, they love what Islam says about Isa alayhi salam. They love what Islam says about Jesus. Here you are, you grew up believing in Jesus, loving Jesus, doing everything in the name of Jesus. You become a Muslim and Islam tells you, you know what? You can still love Isa alayhi salam. Because part of being a Muslim is in believing in Isa alayhi salam. So I feel and I believe that as a person who is coming back to Islam, I do not need to marginalize Isa alayhi salam. I do not need to reject everything that I know about Isa alayhi salam. But rather, I need to modify my beliefs about Isa alayhi salam. Brothers and sisters, do you know that Islam speaks more highly of Jesus than the entire books of the New Testament? Do you know that in the Quran, there is more said about Maryam, Mary, the mother of Jesus, than the entire New Testament, all the books of the New Testament? More is said about Isa and Maryam in the Quran than the one that is said in the New Testament about this beautiful messenger of Allah, Isa alayhi salam. Not only this, but do you know that the Quran speaks more highly of the disciples of Jesus than the New Testament itself? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the disciples of Isa alayhi salam as being hawaliyin. Hawaliyin. Wa if qala Allahu ya Isa ibn Maryam, at the story of the hawaliyin at the end of Surah Nisa and then at the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Qala al-hawaliyin nahnu ansaru Allah. Hawali is the plural of ahwar. Wa qala al-ahwar huwa alladhi la khabatha fihi. It said the person who is described as being ahwar is a person who is viceless. Their hearts are clean. So in one word, the Quran said what the entire books of the New Testament have not said about the disciples of Isa alayhi as-salam. Third reason, people cite that, you know what, the teachings of Islam, the beliefs of Islam are very simple. I want to become a Muslim. What are the beliefs? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. Say he is Allah, the one and the unique. He neither begets nor was he begotten. He is the self-sustenant and there is none unto like him. Simple. And people say, look into this statement of the Muslims. I bear witness that no one is worthy of worship but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his final messenger. People say that the teachings of Islam are not complicated. They are very simple. All the people out there can understand. And according to their degree of intellect, they tend to get as much as they dig into out of it. So people appreciate the simplicity of the teachings of Islam. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ would constantly remind us and say, I was sent with an upright, simple religion. And people see the simplicity of Islam. Fourth reason, people say the diversity in Islam. You walk into a masjid and you see people from all walks of life. You see the whites and the blacks, the Arabs and the non-Arabs, those who are natives and those who are immigrants. You see the men and the women, the young and the old, the rich and the poor. And they say that when you come to the mosque, a mosque is not segregated or divided along ethnic backgrounds or ethnic lines. Unfortunately, and I do not intend to make a statement here about Christianity, but it seems like there is a Korean church, and then there is a Chinese church, and then there is mainly an African American church, and then there is a Latino church. People say we come into the mosque and we are just amazed by the level of diversity that we see. One time, a pastor came to visit our masjid down in Mission Viejo. And she came in and she said, when people come in, are they assigned spaces, meaning that they sit where they sit because they have been assigned these spaces from long time ago? And I said, no, people just come in and they sit wherever they find an empty and open space, that's where they sit. She said, it's amazing, because as I was observing people would come in and they would want to sit in the front rows. She said, in our own church, we could not pay people enough to sit in the front chair, in the front row. Said, here you are, you Muslims. It seems like everybody comes in and they want to go up there in the front. I said, it's very diverse that is out there. And then finally, brothers and sisters, the power of the Quran. Many people will say it was the Quran that did it for me. I started reciting the Quran, I started reading the Quran, and I was amazed by the power of the Quran. A brother was once given the Quran, and he read Surah Al-Fatiha. And he closed it and he said, I like it, this is the book of God. I said, what have you read? He just read Surah Al-Fatiha. And he said, that was enough for me. What happened? He said, I do not disagree with the introduction of the book. He said, the introduction of the book, he said, is so beautiful. He said, I do not disagree with any part of it. He said, this must be the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A brother who worked on ships as a sailor was once handed a Quran by someone. He said, we go out in the sea for 3 months at a time and we don't come back. So we're always looking for material to read. So brother handed him the Quran. He said, why don't you read this? He came back after 3 months and he's finished the entire Quran. And he wants to give him back the book and he said, man, Muhammad must have been a good sailor. So what are you talking about? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has never been to the sea before. He said, are you kidding me? He said, I'm telling you the truth. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has never been on the sea before. He said, I cannot believe it. He said, then he must be a prophet from Allah. He said, what happened to you? He said, I love the way that he described a storm in the ocean. So what happened? He said, I was reading, and this is in Surah An-Nur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the state of the believers. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَسَرَابٍ بِقِيعَةٍ يَحْسَبُهُ الظَّمْآنُ مَاءً. He said that, as for the state of those who disbelieve, their parable is like a person who is parched with thirst in a sandy desert. And the mirage makes things appear as if they are water, and he runs there thinking it's water and he does not find any water in it. But then the following ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْ كَظُلُمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرٍ لُجِّ. He said, or like darknesses in the depth of a sea, where waves upon waves are over them, where it is amwaj, and then more amwaj, waves upon waves, مِنْ فَوْقِهِ سَحَابٍ, and over it there is cloud. إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ يَرَاهَا. That even if he were to extend his hand, he would not be able to see his own hand from how dark it is. Now brothers and sisters, where do waves take place? Waves take place on the surface of the sea or the ocean. You see the waves on the surface. But you do not expect to find waves in the depth of the sea. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْ كَظُلُمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرٍ لُجِّ. It said that, or it's like the darknesses in the depth of the sea when waves upon waves are there. You know when they discovered that there are waves in the depth of the sea? December of 2007. It was a group of British scientists. They devised this robot that would go in there for 10 days and then come up again with data. And they said, we were sure that at a depth of 50 meters, there was going to be waves. We knew this. But they said that we were amazed that a mile down, there were actually waves that were taking place. The Quran points out this 1400 years ago. And when does man discover it? December of 2007. Subhanaka ya Rabbi. So people see the power of the Quran. And they read the Quran and they say, Subhanallah, this must be the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we look into this, and we, especially for us nowadays, we Muslims, especially Muslims here of the US, after 9/11, we thought that this is it. This is the end of Islam and Muslims. What has happened, that mass murder is so terrible, we thought that this is going to be a setback for us Muslims. And it has been. But subhanAllah, more people are coming into Islam after 9/11 than the number of people who were becoming Muslims before 9/11. You remember the movie that just came out in Holland? Movie that they called Fitna, Trial? It was a terrible movie. Movie that depicted Islam and Quran in a very negative way. But subhanAllah, something interesting happened. In Holland, within 3 days after they aired that documentary, all the online copies of the Quran were sold out. Because people wanted to know more about Islam. If they keep quiet about it, Islam is spreading. If they speak against it, Islam is even spreading more. So what do? We remember what Allah said. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ لِيَصُدُّوا عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا ثُمَّ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسْرَةً ثُمَّ يُغْلَبُونَ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ يُحْشَرُونَ لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ وَيَجْعَلَ الْخَبِيثَ بَعْضَهُ عَلَى بَعْضٍ فَيَرْكُمَهُ جَمِيعًا فَيَجْعَلَهُ فِي جَهَنَّمَ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. It's that those who disbelieve, they spend their money, their effort, their skills, their talents in speaking, preventing others from the path of Allah. Allah said, they will spend it. فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا. But afterwards, Allah said that it will only remain to be regret for them. We wish we never made that documentary. Because people want even to know more about Islam after our documentary that was supposed to present Islam and Muslims in a negative way. Allah said, this is what's going to happen. You spend your money, and you spend it good, but guess what? By the end of it, you are only promoting this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But brothers, please let us not be fooled. The fact that the number is growing may really not mean much. Sheikh Muhammad al-Ghazali alayhi rahmatullahi lahu kalima jameela. يقول فيها تعداد المسلمين في هذه الأيام بليون مسلم وهذا البليون إنما هو واحد ومن خلفه أصفار كثيرة وعبد الصفر واحد خطأ فاحش لا يغتفر. He said that the number of Muslims exceeds a billion today. But he said a billion is what? It's one and next to it is many zeros. One zero after the next zero and then another zero and then another zero. He said we are a long line of zeros. That's not what we want to be. It is not about how many of us are out there. But rather it is what kind of us is out there. We're happy, mashallah. People becoming more, alhamdulillah, we say, the more the better. More people are guided to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is beautiful. But remember this, the aim is not just to make more Muslims. That should not be the aim. But rather the issue is, what kind of Muslims are we becoming? And what kind of Muslims are we making in the process? أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على رسول المصطفى وعلى من بأثاره اكتفى. It was said that once a scholar was invited to give a lecture at a locality, And when he got to the place where he was supposed to deliver the lecture, the people who showed up was very few in numbers. And the organizers of the event were very disappointed by the turnout. Not so many people showed up. And the man knew how disappointed the organizers were, so he made the following remark. He said, "People, do not be disappointed by your numbers. We are not looking for numbers amongst our faithful. We are looking for faith amongst our numbers. We are not looking for numbers amongst our faithful, but we are looking for faith amongst our numbers." And that is why in the hadith the Prophet ﷺ said, "النَّاسُ كَالْإِبْلِ لِلْمِئَةِ لَا تَكَادُ تَجِدُ بَيْنَهُمْ رَاحِلًا." It said there will be a time when people are going to be like 100 she camels in front of you, but none of them is good enough to take for a journey. They're all defected. There is nothing good in them, even though there is 100 of them in front of you. Alhamdulillah, we must say that this news is very good news for us. We need to encourage one another. We need to empower one another. And this news is but a testimony for the goodness of this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's appreciate the Quran as it is appreciated, or as it ought to be appreciated. Appreciated by those who read it for the first time, and they are astonished by the beauty, by the authenticity, by the clarity, and by the simplicity of this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, let us remember that our mission being here is to bring and convey a better image, a better teaching. Other than what is being taught about Islam, we Muslims must be in charge of what do we want people to know about us. Rather than just complaining what others are saying about us, what do we want to be known about us? And as I come to the conclusion of this khutbah, I must also remind myself and remind you that 60 years ago was the massacre of Deir Yassin, where over 250 Palestinians were massacred by a group of Zionist thugs. It was on April 9th, 1948, 60 years ago. Things like these should not be forgotten. Things like these should not be forgotten. Part of seeking justice is to acknowledge the atrocities that were committed against the innocent civilians that were killed, not only in Deir Yassin, but also in other places. And what is really sad about Deir Yassin and the other massacres that were committed, mind you, this is 1948, few years after the Jewish Holocaust. Of all people, you, the Jewish community, you should not be doing stuff like this, because it was done to you. The ghetto that they're having in Gaza is shameful, because 1824 ghettos were founded for the Jews to place the Jewish community in Valencia, in Italy. So now these are people who have been to ghettos. These are people who were imprisoned. These are people who were massacred to the point that we call their own massacre a Holocaust with a capital H. They turn around and they do it to somebody else. And for that we say, that is double shame. Of all the people, you should not be the ones be doing this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all those who were massacred in Deir Yassin and all the other atrocities that took place. اللهم يا رب إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم يا رب ارحم موتانا واشف مرضانا وفك أسرانا وعاف مبتلانا واختم بالصالحات الباقيات آجالنا. اللهم يا رب فرج هم المهمومين. اللهم يا رب فرج هم المهمومين. يا رب فرج هم المهمومين ونفس كرب المكروبين واقض الدين عن المدينين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم يا رب ارحمك بالمسلمين في كل مكان. يا رب ارحمك بالمستضعفين في كل مكان برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.